You know, friends, as an interim pastor who travels around and often ends up at a city to preach different from the city I started, I've always had this fear that I'm going to forget my sermon. Luckily, I didn't do that today, but I did forget to bring the kids' coloring sheet, so my apologies. All right. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to lead the blind into everlasting light. Amen. As I began to prepare for today's service, I read the assigned readings for the fourth Sunday in Lent, and it became very apparent to me that there was a centralized theme running through all three of today's readings. I imagine you picked up on it as well. Each of the texts we just read had some reference to vision, or should I say, the lack thereof. I'm talking, of course, about blindness, symbolic of the darkness of sin, that which restrains us from seeing the truth, being blinded to what is right and focused on that which is not right, not true. The theme is about clouded vision, clouded thoughts, clouded actions, about ignoring the ways of God and setting your sights instead on the ways of man, the ways of self. In our Old Testament reading, Isaiah says to the exiled people of Israel, "The Lord has held his peace for a long time. He has watched your sinfulness and restrained himself from reacting, but now he's going to cry out like a woman going into labor. He's going to take action. He's going to make a change. The Lord is going to lead the blind in a way that they do not know, on paths they have not seen before. He will guide them out of the darkness and into the light, into righteousness. He will show them the way away from carved idols, these metal images, their other gods, and show them the true light, the light of creation, his light." In other words, Isaiah's elegant tongue is saying, the Messiah is coming, so watch for him. Jump now to our epistle. Here we hear it again. Paul tells this group of believers in Ephesus, "You once were in darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. So walk as children of light. The fruit of the Lord is found in the light, and all that is good and right and true is in him." He goes on to say, "Don't take part of works of darkness and shameful things and unfruitful things. No, instead, expose them and make them visible. Arise, open your eyes to what's going on around you. Don't be blinded by what is false. Look for what is true." And then lastly, our gospel reading that I just went over with the kids. Here, Jesus heals a man born blind. This man, Jesus says, was blind not because of sin or the sin of his parents, but that the works of God may be displayed in him. This man's blindness became a gift to the world. And through his healing, by having sight given to him, he and all the world could begin to see that Jesus beams with power. He has the power to heal, to restore, to redeem. He has the divine power of God. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Don't you love all this imagery, all these word pictures, all these representations? One of the beauties, I think, of Scripture is how the Holy Spirit uses our own mind's eye to instantly convey meaning and purpose. Images and symbols have a way of explaining things without having to explain things. God's Word is powerful in this way. Images like this build and secure our faith. I have a friend, a woman I've known for years, a lady in her mid-60s that recently had cataract surgery. First one eye, then the other. I talked to someone today that recently had cataract surgery. What's been interesting, even amazing for me to watch, is her transformation over the last few months. She has gone from being a person with very diminished sight and perhaps a bit withdrawn to person now with practically 20/20 vision and a brighter, more chipper personality. What is fascinating is that in just a few days after her procedure, her vision cleared completely. Now she says everything is sparkling clear. Even more interesting is that she says, I didn't realize how clouded my vision had become, how blurred and dark my surroundings were. You see, over time, her vision had become obstructed, and she didn't realize what she was missing. Now, a few months down the road, she can see clearly, and her entire persona has changed. There's a pep in her step, a smile on her face. Her affect is brighter and cheerful. She can see again. Praise be to God. I thought of her today as I read today's text. The connection is obvious, right? Her clouded vision restored to normal by her surgeon, who lifted this shroud of a cataract, who removed this shadow caused by the obstruction and let the light shine in. He, in this case, is like Jesus. Surgeon removed this tissue that blocked her vision as Jesus removes the sin that blocks our spiritual sight. He clears away the clouds that keep us from seeing the truth. Jesus' words, his promise, his work pulls us away, pulls that away which keeps us from seeing what is right, that is rightly prescribed by the Father. Now, after all this talk of clouded vision, all this talk of not being astute to what's going around us, I think we have to pause a bit on how easy it is to allow the darkness of the world to creep into our lives, and how easy it is for what is righteous to be covered over and hidden by what is not. It's important to pause and reflect which seems normal, or that is presented to us as normal. Our society, like my friend's vision, has slowly morphed and changed and become tainted over time by evil. Slowly, insidiously, without us realizing many times, without noticing, this change has occurred. Like a cataract slowly growing over the lens of your eye, our culture has changed from one focused on the God of creation to the God of self. The same evils Isaiah talked about so many years ago. Gods of stone and metals and priorities of self over that of God. Our world has slowly, and sometimes not so slowly, turned away from the ways of our Father. The world in many ways has turned a blind eye towards Him and now stares full face into the darkness of sin. What was once forbidden is now common. Just in my lifetime, what has become common just a few years ago was considered obscene. What we hear on television and in our movies and music, even everyday conversation, is often rude and disgraceful and ugly. What was once considered shameful, immoral, lustful, now dances in the public eye or parades down the street. Our view has slowly, slowly darkened and clouded by the evil one, who over time has again covered the ways of God, shrouded the light so that people only see what they want to see, only what looks good to them. But it's not just them out there, it's sometimes us, our own selves. How easy is it for us to look past what we should see and only see what we want to see, to ignore that log growing in our own eyes and focus on that speck in the eyes of our brothers and sisters. We do this sometimes with those closest to us, spouses and children. How easy it is to see their faults, those irritating little rough patches, and ignore the good. It's easy to be blinded to the blessing they bring and focus only on that which irritates and frustrates. Our vision clouds also when we are unsatisfied with life. This happens when we become blind to the blessings of our homes and our belongings and our vocations, not seeing them as a gift but a burden, and perhaps just wanting more and more and more to glisten and shine in our face. We become blind when our actions, our words, our thoughts, our deeds hurt and not help. When we turn away from doing what we know we are called to do and instead do what we want to do. Our vision, like it or not, is constantly under attack. We all have cataracts of sin growing, covering, shrouding. As King David cried out, "Purge me, O Lord, wash me, cleanse me. Against thee I have sinned and done evil in thy sight." Our Savior Jesus has never had clouded sight. He has never been unclear. From the beginning, he has had one single purpose and vision, and that is to lead us back to his heavenly kingdom. His grace has overpowered the darkness. His divinity beams through the darkness of death, and it shines forth from an empty tomb, and it brings light and life to all who believe. He removes our disability, and through him we're able to see past our sinful nature and overcome our blindness. His gift of sight offers clarity, redemption, salvation. His love is enough to lift the cure of blindness, the cataract of sin we all share. And his work on the cross lets the light of truth, the light of his saving grace, shine in. I close with this. The Pharisees asked the blind man, "What do you say about this Jesus, since he has opened your eyes?" The man who was blind said, "He is a prophet." Irate, the Pharisees retort, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us," and they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast out the man, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man, once blind, answered, "Who is he, sir? Show me, that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have seen him. You are speaking to him." "Lord, I believe," the man says, and he worshiped Jesus. Jesus then said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." This is the living gospel of our Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever focused on Christ our Lord. Amen.